Now, Mental Health Organisation Aware recently revealed the high rates of depression and anxiety in Ireland. 60% of adults surveyed experienced depression and 80% were said to be experiencing anxiety. So these figures, very startling, and they reveal that many of the Irish population are dealing with mental health struggles on a daily basis. And we wanted to spend some time on the show this morning chatting about how we as individuals and as a country as well can address the mental health concerns. Before we go any further, if it's important to say that if you do feel you have concerns about your mental health, do visit your GP because there is help available there. And now to discuss all this in studio, we have the clinical director at Mental Health Organisation Aware, Dr. Susan Brannick, who joins me now in studio. Susan, good morning. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Thanks so much for coming in. The first question I have for you, so the survey that Aware published recently revealed that 3 in 5 people experience depression across the country. Is that figure as scary as it sounds?
It's important to put it in context, really. So I suppose if you think about depression as being on a continuum, so obviously mild difficulties at one end and severe difficulties at the other end. So people are going to have a range of different experiences within that, and they're going to be impacted in different ways. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, when we asked the people in our survey kind of how much is depression sort of stopping you living your day-to-day life, so is it stopping you functioning, about a quarter of the people were saying, actually, it's so bad, I can't do what I want to do. So that is a very alarming figure still, still very concerning, but it puts it in a broader context. So people will have different experiences.
Sure. If we try and take, say, any positive out of that figure, is it that, you know, this country now possibly more aware of our mental health, and it can put a name on things now that we're feeling that we mightn't have been able to put a name on before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really good. I mean, even the fact that you're having me on here this morning to talk about this survey, there's lots more conversations happening about mental health. I think people are much more able to, I guess, to recognise when things are not going well, when they're struggling, and also kind of what that might be and how to access help around it. So definitely there's been a culture shift, I think, in terms of what we're able to talk about and maybe talk about more openly as well, which is really brilliant in terms of stigma and and kind of addressing that side of things. So we're trying to destigmatise these conversations. I would say, though, so certainly the mental health campaigns have been really helpful.
Yeah.
There's probably more for the government to do in terms of funding, though. So if we're saying, OK, reach out for help if you feel like you need it, it's important that mental health services are adequately funded then to be able to kind of meet that need.
Absolutely.
So at the moment, mental health services are getting about 6% of the health budget when it should be about 12%.
Okay.
So there's still a fair bit to do. So certainly mental health campaigns are great, but there's still more to do in terms of offering kind of meaningful and helpful services to people who really need them.
Yeah, I think it does sometimes get stuck in that awareness bubble rather than moving on to kind of practicalities and what you can do next, I guess.
Yeah, there's two parts to it, definitely.
Two parts, for sure. So another thing that we hear a lot is the word anxiety that's thrown around in kind of modern language. And four in five respondents to the survey in the data said that they experienced anxiety. Why is that figure so high? Do we have any idea?
Yeah.
It's 80%.
Yeah. And I guess, again, it's sort of important to kind of remember this survey is like a snapshot in time.
Sure.
And again, that continuum idea that I was sort of mentioning at the beginning. So people will have a whole range of experiences on that continuum of mild to severe anxiety. So we might have had a bit of anxiety. It's really normal in terms of day-to-day life, in terms of doing things. I guess it's a good signal to say that something matters to us.
Yeah.
If we have a response of like, oh, I want to get this right, or, you know, I feel a bit nervous about it. So that's not a pathological experience. That's to be welcomed and think, okay, so I can still do the thing, but maybe I'm feeling a bit anxious about it. I think that's how most people function, and all of us will kind of do at some point. I suppose anxiety can become more of a problem, a bit like the depression, as I was saying, if it's stopping you doing what you want to do. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling too anxious or too worried to connect with people, mm-hmm. or to go out, or to be in spaces that maybe feel too difficult to be in, or to go to work. So that's where it becomes more of a difficulty. And again, as we were saying at the beginning, it's really important to reach out for help if that's your experience, or if anywhere on that continuum, all suffering can be responded to. You don't have to suffer by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's help for each kind of difficulty that someone might be experiencing. So you will find the right help if you look for it.
So the report suggested then that people between the ages of 25 and 44 were more likely to say that they were struggling with their mental health. Is there any, obviously, like you don't want to speculate too much, but sure. Can you speculate a bit about,
Well, I mean, I guess
why that might be.
Yeah, and it's certainly common sense, isn't it, to think that mental health doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Yes.
So we're all living in the world. I suppose in terms of this survey, what people described kind of impacting the most was money. So that was across all age groups, across all genders.
Yeah.
Money, sort of relationships, work, housing. So I suppose if we think about that age group, there's kind of obvious things that are going on that will impact on mental health. So if you think about housing for as one, and that's certainly something that people in the survey kind of said was a big factor.
Yeah.
Think about that age group in terms of, I suppose, the uncertainty around housing. So many people might be still living at home and they might not want to. That might not be their first choice. So it stops them kind of progressing kind of in kind of the stages of life that they might want.
Yeah.
Also, maybe the precarity or the uncertainty of housing, of a rental contracts, that you might not be able to feel safe and secure in your home.
Yeah.
All of that's going to impact on mental health. And also it goes the other way. So kind of struggling with mood, struggling with anxiety is going to make managing or responding to those housing issues a bit more difficult.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a kind of bi-directional model. So that's housing, I suppose. Also, we're in a cost of living crisis as well.
Of course.
Ireland's one of the most expensive countries to live in in Europe, as we've recently saw, you know, the kind of goods and services are 46% more expensive than the rest of Europe. So that's going to impact people, you
course,
know, so that's their very real concerns that are going to impact on someone's capacity to kind of live their life, you know. So that can, there's a whole range of different factors. Certainly that age group, 25 to 44, are facing different challenges, maybe than they would have, you know, 30 years ago.
Is that age group as well more likely to kind of say it? You know, rather than an older set of of people, you know, from maybe a different generation, to who might be as comfortable saying, yeah, actually, I'm feeling depressed, or it is impacting my day to day life.
And I think that's really good. It's really healthy to be able to say, actually, this is really hard for me now. This is past the point of where I feel like I can manage. I think that's a really healthy and strong response to be able to say, actually, I need a bit more input now, or I need a bit of help.
Yeah.
Need help, sorry. And certainly our survey showed that kind of as people kind of a slightly older age range, maybe we're less likely to recognise signs of depression or maybe seek help around it. So I guess what we were seeing in terms of kind of depression figures is kind of under 25s and people living with a chronic health condition most impacted by depression.
Yeah, of course. Susan, when this research was released, there was a lot of discussion around the big figures. But one thing I think that didn't get the same coverage was the gender split. So the report suggested that a diagnosis is more likely for females. Are females more likely to suffer from depression, or are they more likely to get a diagnosis?
It's a big question.
It's hard to know.
And I think the research would say it's hard to know. So I can't say anything definitively about that. And certainly, as you say, our study showed that women were more likely to get a diagnosis. Men were, so kind of a third of men didn't reach out for help in terms of our survey. So that's kind of what they were saying. I suppose it's possible that more women might seek help. So then they might attract a diagnosis more often. There's some research to say that in terms of kind of male help-seeking behaviour, they may not recognise signs of depression in the same way. Or if they do, they might not judge them as severe enough to need help. And certainly our survey said for the people who didn't kind of connect out for help, the main sort of idea around that was like, I think I can manage it myself. And certainly if you feel like you can do, like there's room for every kind of self-management in terms of things. But I suppose it's knowing when you might need that extra bit of support can be helpful.
And as you said, when it starts, you know, impacting your day to day and stuff. Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk as well about if you go back to the overall figures. So the report suggests that nearly 60% of adults say they're experiencing what they believe is depression, whereas almost 24% received an official diagnosis. Could people... people be depressed without having the diagnosis? I think probably yes. You know,
I mean, I think it's important to listen to the, I guess that idea of suffering again.
Yeah,
so if you're struggling and suffering, I don't know, it's less important about the formal diagnosis might act, lead you into different support, I suppose. What I would say maybe, if someone's listening to this now and is either thinking about themselves or maybe about someone that they care about, there's different kind of ways to try to unpack what might be going on. So if you look at your own thinking, so is it very negative about yourself? Are you giving yourself a hard time, kind of being very self-critical? Are you feeling very hopeless about the future? So kind of noticing the way your mind is going into a negative place.
Yeah.
Are you doing less and you're kind of not feeling like you can be bothered to meet up with people, or you can't be bothered, or don't feel like you have the energy to do certain things, or maybe feel like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, but maybe anxiety might be driving some avoidance. So kind of looking at your thoughts, looking at what you're doing, are you doing anything differently? And also looking at how you're feeling. So are you feeling quite sad, but sad kind of consistently? We might feel sad about three times a day, or you know what I mean?
Like
there's a range of emotions to have, that's all normal. But if you're noticing you're feeling actually quite kind of down a lot of the time, at least for a couple of weeks, you're feeling maybe quite hopeless, maybe angry. So, or maybe anger often can mask kind of feelings of sadness as well. So if you're feeling really annoyed all the time, or irritable, or getting frustrated with people, so, and much more maybe than is usual for you. So I guess trying to make sense of those sort of emotional experiences, if you're noticing that that's going on for you or someone you care about, maybe do have a conversation. If it's going on for weeks and weeks, maybe kind of check in with someone that you trust, or maybe an organisation like Aware, so you can phone our phone line, or going to the GP. But I guess that the main message is that you don't have to struggle there by yourself.
Yeah.
Our survey did show, actually, for the people who went to their GP, they had a good experience. So that's important to know. Oftentimes, when you're in a certain mindset, you think, well, nothing's going to help.
Yes,
they're not
going
to be able to offer me anything useful.
Yeah.
But actually, that may well not be the case. So I guess the first port of call is sort of a checking in with how you're doing.
Yeah.
And then maybe kind of talking to someone about it.
Yeah. I want to just ask you finally about that. And if you do... Because it's so important that if you are feeling depressed, or you suspect that what you're feeling might be depression, to contact somebody, you know, a medical professional. Can you give me just an idea, or give the listener an idea of what to expect if you do reach out to your GP? Because I guess it feels quite daunting in a lot of cases to even, you know, say it out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's a really good step if you've made that appointment. So that's brilliant. So step one is kind of making the appointment. I guess bear in mind that the results of our survey show this stuff is really common. So the GP is going to be really used to having these conversations.
Yeah.
So kind of bear that in mind. This isn't going to shock them,
you
know, so they'll be open to it. They might, and they're there to kind of support you.
Yeah.
So I suppose maybe sometimes it can be helpful if you're not sure of how it might go in the kind of time that you have. Sometimes it can be helpful to write stuff down, or if you have a bit of a think of like, what do I absolutely want to kind of get from the appointment, or what do I want to make sure I tell them?
Yeah.
And then it might just be as simple as just saying that I'm feeling quite down.
Yeah.
I would say try to be as honest with the GP as you can. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we kind of say, ah, it's grand, I'm a bit down, but I'm not too bad.
Yeah.
If you can, be as honest as you can, so the GP can help you.
Yeah.
So, and there's like a whole range of different supports that they might kind of signpost you to. It might be medication. Sometimes that can help people. Certainly good to kind of find out about that. So have a conversation with the GP. What are the side effects? How long is it for?
Mm-hmm.
All these things, so you can make your own decisions around interventions. They might suggest counselling or therapy, similar sort of thing, kind of finding out a bit about that. But I guess it's important if you're feeling kind of in a very dark place, don't hold back from telling the GP that. It's better to say it out loud than to kind of hold some of it back.
Yeah.
So then they'll be able to say, okay, so this is where you're really at. So we're going to be able to support you with what you need.
Yeah.
So if they don't think it's as bad as you're making out, they might kind of say, well, sure, come back in a month, and maybe you need something sooner than a month.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
So you kind of have to meet them somewhere and say, actually, this is where I'm really feeling.
Yeah.
And as I said, maybe Aware as well. So we have a support line. If you're kind of thinking, God, I wouldn't even know where to start with all of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, we have it's from 10 in the morning till 10 in the evening. There's always someone there to kind of just talk through stuff, and they might be able to kind of give information or a bit of support in terms of where to start.
Right.
That phone line is 1800 80 48 48.
Brilliant. Susan, I really appreciate you coming in and joining us in studio this morning. That's Dr. Susan Brannick. She's the clinical director at mental health organisation Aware. And if you've any concerns about your mental health, do contact your GP. You heard Susan say, you know, it's important to be as honest as possible when you get in there, and Aware is there to help as well. So if you need support, or you're concerned about a loved one, they offer a safe and accepting space to receive support, compassion and guidance. As Susan just said there, you can free free phone, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. It's 1800 80 48 48, or you can visit aware.ie. Susan, thanks so much for coming in. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2 FM.